Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Well, here we are again, second hour on Circles of Change. We've got two exciting guests to join, very different walks of life, which is always my goal. So our first call here to great state of Indiana, my home Hoosier State, with Beth Holloway from Purdue University. How are you today, Beth?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Great. And for our listeners that know, I'll also be also so transparent. I'm equally the boilermaker that Beth is. let me read a quick introduction, Beth. She's director of the Women in Engineering programs at Purdue University. And in this role, she manages programs that recruit and retain women engineers. Listen to this, folks, from kindergarten all the way through the college experience, and then for those who select this as an option to become faculty in the whole engineering disciplines. Beth serves as the advisor also to the Purdue Society of Women Engineers, which is a student organization of over 400 members. She's a past president of the National Women in Engineering Proactive Network, with some 600 members dedicated to being a catalyst, advocate, and leading resource for institutional and national change to enable the success of all women in engineering. She received both her BS and MS degrees in mechanical engineering from Purdue, also this particular department I came from, and was on the board of directors of the Purdue Engineering Alumni Association for 3 years. Prior to joining Purdue in the capacity she's in 2001, Beth worked as a research and development engineering group leader at Cummins, a leading diesel engine manufacturer. Married to a fellow boilermaker engineer, Eric, they're proud parents of 11-year-old twins, son Reese and daughter Riley, and the family enjoys biking, hiking, reading, watching, and playing sports. And in Beth's spare time, I love this closing remark, she's pursuing a PhD in engineering education. What else could there be, right?
That's right. What else is there?
Exactly. Well, Beth, share with the audience the significance and the why for that Purdue over the years has invested in this special separate branch program and administrative function called the Women in Engineering Program.
Sure. The Women in Engineering Program was started in 1969 at Purdue, and it was started in kind of a reaction to the reality that less than 1% of the engineering student body at the time were women. And there was a realization that maybe that wasn't the right way to be going. Maybe there needed to be more people that were engineers and interested in the engineering process. So they started the Women in Engineering program, and the program has done lots of different things over the years. Now, about 20% of the engineering student body is female. Mm-hmm. Nationally, it's about 17%. So we're doing a little bit better than the national average, but still there's a long way to go.
I need to tell a quick story here because of the date stamp on this, because I will admit that Beth is younger than me. So 1969, this office started. In 1974, I was a junior in high school in Indianapolis, not far, and an invitation came for me to come to an event sponsored by the Purdue Women in Engineering, and that was to come and spend a weekend on campus. And beforehand, I had every intention, even though I had had all the years of math, science, technically training, I also loved art, and my goal was to go to art school. It was coming to that program, sponsored by your heritage office, that made me realize, oh, this is beautiful. I could actually blend my math and science with my artwork and pursue mechanical engineering, which I started then in 1976. Mm-hmm. So I can sit here and say,
that. We do hear that from a lot of students, the things that we present about engineering kind of opens their eyes to a different set of possibilities, and some that are really exciting to them, and they choose engineering.
I think your challenges, of course, though, aren't just to attract women to sign up and join it from an academic standpoint, but it's also the retention through those years of challenge, right?
Exactly. And that's why we not only do those recruitment and outreach programs, but that we also do those programs for students in the midst of their collegiate experience, the mentoring programs, the tutoring center that we administer, the we have a course for students in their freshman year where really we bring alums back to talk about their experiences in engineering. And it turns out that that's a really exciting and inspiring time for students to listen to those alums talk about their experiences.
Well, let me take us a bit off to the track here. I have a hunch, if I recall the data correct, from your own personal journey, that perhaps were you an invited speaker at one of those events, Beth, and then that seed got planted of maybe my career is destined to bring me back into the academic environment to do even more of this?
Yeah, that is true. My husband and I came actually to that course, and we spoke about what it was like to be a couple mm-hmm. engaged in an engineering career with, I believe my twins were about a year, well, a little less than a year old at that time. And but what's really interesting is if you go back a few years before that is I took the class when I was a freshman.
Oh, that's right.
Too. And I really remember several of the speakers, and I remember how inspiring it was. So when I got the invitation to speak, I thought, oh, this is great. And that's part of what started my journey back to Purdue, yeah.
Interesting. Now, the idea, though, that you're in also now this day and age, your organization and the institution, Purdue, is so dedicated towards even as early as kindergarten through the whole 12 years of education. Uh-huh. Tell us more about those outreach in the pre-college, because those are such foundational years for both men and women to have that passion for the sciences and the other disciplines that make up engineering kind of peaked and plant those seeds.
Right. So the programs that we do for kindergarten through 12th grade are very different across the academic years, as you might imagine. The youngest ones, the kindergarten through 5th grade actually, is one of our newest programs. It's called Imagination, Innovation, Discovery, and Design. And we, of course, as all engineers do, we abbreviate that to an acronym. And we call it I2D2, which is kind of a catchy sort of a thing. And we take groups of our current engineering students, women, and they go to after-school programs for kindergarten through fifth graders in the local community, and they take with them engineering projects. There are projects, hands-on projects, that might demonstrate some of the concepts that we use in engineering. And then these wonderful young women talk about what they do as engineers in engineering. They talk about how these concepts relate to what the kids might see in everyday life. And they facilitate using these projects. Sometimes they're individual, sometimes they're in groups. And the kids just have a really great time. And at the end of the session, they get a certificate that says that they were an engineer for a day.
Yeah,
it's great. And these programs are very obviously they're co-ed. So we touch little girls and little boys both. And there are a lot of kids that really get excited about us coming. I had a parent tell me after one of our sessions that she just loved that program so much, and she wanted to know when we were coming back. And the day came that we were coming back, and her mom said, you know, I have the day off. I'll just pick you up after school. And the little girl said, no, I want to go to the program today because those engineers are coming. So
don't you love it?
It was a lot of fun, yeah.
I would think the other experience to share, of course, is what does this do for your students at Purdue? Mm-hmm. They get the chance to touch into the classroom then.
Oh, and they have the best time. We have probably 30 to 40 undergraduates, freshmen through seniors, who are involved in going out to the schools. And for them, this is one of the highlights of their week, getting to interact with little kids. You know, kindergarten through fifth graders have so much energy, and they're a lot of fun to be around. And so this is one of the things, actually, that for many of our college students solidifies some of their interests in engineering. I mean, they also get to experience how exciting engineering can be and how it connects to our everyday world. And so it's really it turns out to be a really great program, not only for the kindergarten through fifth graders, but also for our college students.
Well, I would also suggest that for those of us, of course, that are out in industry, we always know there's nothing more fun than to bring in, you know, frankly, a group of college students to help you dust off your cobwebs and make you see great ideas that might be right in front of your face, because the children have one skill that many of us lose over time, and that's called the ability to play.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, in the ability of playing really comes that imagination, innovation, discovery, and design.
Uh-huh. It does. And that's one of the reasons that we use the college students more so than adults in the community, is that they're what we might call, in a more scholarly way, near peers.
Yes.
They're a little bit older, but not so much older that the kids can't imagine themselves maybe in those roles. And the college students haven't lost so much of that sense of play, so they really can have a good time.
Well, some of the other activities, you know, associated with the women in engineering programs, I mean, like you say, Beth, this is a 40-year journey since that office was opened. I mean, tantamount to that for the experience of your college students is the opportunities to get involved in the Purdue Society of Women Engineers, right? And the fact that SWE is right there building, you know, a race car to be in the Purdue race car program, or getting involved in robotics competitions as a community as well to inspire that kind of team activity.
Right. The Society of Women Engineers is a really great outlet for our current engineering students to build community with each other, to do some things like the go-kart, the race car, to do a Rube Goldberg machine,
mm-hmm.
For some of that creative outlet. And Purdue SWE is one of the largest student organizations on campus, actually, and it's one of the largest SWE sections in the country. So there's a really nice, I guess, culture of the importance of SWE at Purdue, and I think that that's a really positive thing for our students.
Yes, and absolutely for those who are listening that may know of or even contemplating engineering, that is one of the nice organizations they can find at multiple campuses to patch into. The other point we want to make now, of course, though, is that the messaging of your organization, though, Beth, really has had to change over time in these 40 years, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It has. And in fact, we've been changing it even more within the last few years. The National Academy of Engineering did a wonderful study, some market research actually, about what does the public in general know about engineering and how do they perceive engineering. And then they did some kind of more focused studies with teenage girls. And it was really interesting what they found. They found some things that girls want to know about a potential career and the things that might motivate them to choose a potential career. And then they heard what the girls said they heard about engineering. And it's really interesting that those two things don't match up at all.
Is that right? So what were some of the things they came to understand that girls were hearing?
The girls heard that it was a challenging career,
mm-hmm.
that it was difficult but rewarding, that you use math and science to solve problems, that if you love math and science, you should be an engineer. And it's not that those things necessarily are not true about engineering, although that last one, the loving math and science, you should become an engineer, there's a whole lot better reasons to become an engineer than that. But it's not that those messages aren't necessarily true. It's that those are not the kinds of messages that would motivate teenage girls to choose engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that when you listen to a bunch of engineers talk about their career, those messages are exactly what they say. So we had to take a hard look at ourselves to say, well, what are we saying about engineering? How are we promoting the profession and the study of engineering? And we did make some changes. And this study that the National Academy did identified five things that are motivators for girls. The girls want to enjoy their work and their studies.
Right.
They want to have a good working environment when they graduate. They want to make a difference. They would like to have a good income and be able to support themselves, and they want some career flexibility. And those are all things that can be found within the profession of engineering, so we need to talk about them more.
And I would venture to say that those probably are the same attributes that a lot of young men would say, but they aren't nearly as perhaps drawn to that type of language.
Yes, exactly. These things are not they're not gender
specific. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it turns out that some of these things are really more motivating for girls. So if you change the message that hits those career motivators, mm-hmm. it turns out that it really motivates the girls more, and it turns out that it motivates the young men more too.
Yeah, at the same time. Well, Beth, for you, I closed my introduction to say in your spare time, you are pursuing a PhD in engineering and in education. Tell us a bit about that journey. What's your area of inquiry and particular interest?
Well, as you might imagine, I am interested in doing more research on women in engineering, gender in engineering, those kinds of things. There's, I haven't quite gotten to the point where I'm in the thick of my research yet.
Right.
I've been doing a lot of coursework. I've been doing a lot of thinking about leadership in a traditionally male domain, which we know that engineering is, and how gender affects leadership perceptions. And that's a really interesting kind of a thing. I'm also becoming very interested in the culture of engineering and the culture of different engineering disciplines, and how does that maybe more differentially attract women or not.
I absolutely agree. In fact, I could tell you from my days, granted this is graduating in 1979, that many more of the women pursued chemical engineering because of the base in the biological science area.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, then the next order was electrical engineering with the whole, believe it or not, folks, yes, software engineering was just starting up big time back then. But for those of us in mechanical engineering, like you and I both chose,
right.
I mean, there was this envisage of, well, those are the folks that really like to build them, bust them, break them, build engines. You know, you even went to an engine company. I went to an automotive company.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers were significantly less of those of us in those fields. And then the other was, of course, industrial engineering because of more the people dynamic, that I think there are more colleagues that came that way. Is there a different distribution in this day and age across those different pockets of engineering? I'm curious to know that.
Well, as you might imagine, mechanical engineering is still pretty low. It turns out, though, that now electrical engineering is very low. It's actually the lowest of all of the disciplines in terms of the representation of women. The higher ones are still chemical engineering, still industrial engineering, biomedical engineering, which didn't exist at Purdue when
right.
you and I were there.
That's right.
But is there now. That's a very high one. And also biological engineering is another one that's quite high. So many of them are similar to our experiences, yours and mine, when we were in undergrad, but there are a few different ones, too.
But like you say, you know, the area of software engineering, biomedical engineering, even systems engineering, those are whole new fields that hold possibilities, I think, particularly systems engineering, because, quite frankly, guys, yes, you have to own up to this, us women usually can see the bigger picture a lot faster. So I'm waiting for the phones to start ringing off the hook, but that's really the way it works.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Well, Beth, the idea that you started in the technical environment as a practicing engineer, shifted into administration in such a vital field to provide for the field of engineering, I'm guessing, though, you're still ever the problem solver. You know, the once an engineer, always an engineer challenge?
Yes, that's absolutely true. I look at things in the way that I was trained to look at problems, and that's very much an engineering way. And it brings a bit of rationality and logic to solving problem sets, whether they have to do with numbers or they have to do with people. The biggest difference is that people are not as predictable as a set of numbers,
yes.
actually. But the approach is very much the same. And I think that being in the position that I am in now with my background in engineering, it gives me really a lot of credibility with the students. I know what they're going through because I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what possibilities exist because I made it through the other side. And I think that the students appreciate that as well.
Well, I think also that you're role modeling not just the challenges of a career and continuing education later in life, a returning student, as we call ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also you and Eric together raising these two beautiful children that you have and modeling the kind of things that are possibilities for them.
Right. And our, and you know, we have lots of fun with the kids and they come with us every so often to some of our, college related activities that we have going on. And, actually just a few weeks ago, we had an engineering open house for kindergarten through eighth graders. And, my two came, they actually came and I had to go do something else on campus. So I dropped them off there right before it opened and I said, I'll be back. 3 hours later, I came back and I said, are you ready to go? And neither one of them wanted to go. They were just so interested in the projects and the activities and the girls that we had helping, the college students that we had helping out. They had a blast. So yeah, I think it's really good for college students to be interacting with the younger kids and inspiring them. And I think it's good for the college students to see, like you said, see me as not only someone that they can ask their engineering questions of, but to see someone who has a career and has these young children that it can all work out.
Not that we aren't stressed 99.9% of the time. You know, you sound so, you know, composed and contained here, but you know that challenge. Well, Beth, before we run out of time, I know you also said that one of your secrets and dreams or things would be to someday write a book. But in the meantime, I know you're involved in blogging and getting the good word out on all your other work that you do with your colleagues. So I commend you for all that. And we're going to look forward to watching as Dr. Holloway progresses through that whole process, as I did later in life, with all the gusto that I know you will. So for those interested and they want to visit and learn more about your programs, Beth, what would be that web address?
It would be www.purdue.edu/WIEP.
That's right. So that's a Women in Engineering programs at Purdue University.
Uh-huh.
So go Boilers, and we'll talk to you real soon, Beth. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Excellent.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.